listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 23rd. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter. Always happy to have you, Michael. And so happy to see those in our live chat. We always appreciate your contributions. Always appreciate catching up with you. And as always, we appreciate those that listen to us from the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right. Tonight we're going to have a bit of an open discussion. We're going to kind of go meandering into a few different topics, a couple ideas from chat. Well, I can't say no to that.
Can I inject a start here, Michael? It was Dr. Edwards' birthday on the 18th, and he wrote in chat he finally had his eye surgery.
Ah.
And he said, it's so good to be able to see again out of that eye. And it's just a testament also, I want to say, that even Jerry's been talking in the chat. People have been mentioning the student weekly update that Dr. Kelly sent out the other day for those who get them. And if you don't get them, just email the school and he'll be sure to send them to you. Talking about you're never too old. And how a couple of things in the chat anyways for the sake of those listening in the archives about how, you know, age and our attitudes towards age can hold us back. Well, Edward just had his birthday, and I happen to know how old a few folks are in here. But I'm 69 on this Friday.
I knew about it all along.
So I have a birthday coming up. And yes, I take money, and it's you're never too old. You never know what's going to happen in life, and you know, as Dr. Kelly put it aptly in the chat, "Don't die with your music still in you," and it was taken from a title from a story of the late Zig Ziglar, and so it resonated with him. And you know, he talks about a woman that he had met who was, you know, 52, broke, $27 in her pocket, and moved from North Carolina to Florida. And she started over. And I have known other people to do that. I knew a woman who was 75. She was a client of mine. And I remember my mentor's words echoed in my mind that never be prejudiced in a reading. And I said, you know, Emma, I think you're going to have a whole new career. It's just occurred to me. I don't know. You're going to get a new job. And lo and behold, she did. Went to work in a health food store. Then she went to work in the homeopathic section of a pharmacy. And she worked there until she was 89. So, you know, folks, you never know, you know, whether you're taking courses at IMHS or somewhere else. And you want to, don't die with your music still in you. There's lots to keep learning and doing. And, I mean, I know people in the chat, they're all saying how old they are now, and I'm not going to say it out loud because people have to come to the chat to find out. That's a teaser, by the way. But thank you for all the birthday wishes, everybody. I don't know, 69, it doesn't seem, you know, like such a number, except the 60s are kind of come and gone. I think it's the 70. Yeah. It's very sombering, well, I must say.
You know what they say, though, you know, 70 is the new 30. Like, so.
Where did it go?
Well, that's optimistic.
Oh, yeah, no, we're all going to be dead soon. Come on. it's really about, and by the way, I moved into my new place, told you that last week, getting things sorted and organized. And, you know, we've talked about this. It's not the quantity of your life, it's that quality of whether I had a year left, 10 years, it doesn't matter. It's how well you're living your life during that time. So I really just hope you don't mind me injecting.
No, that's fine. You know, I was going to start talking about extreme weather and weather control and how that's probably influenced by aliens and things like that. But, you know, that's gone. That's slipped. Although, I know, Damien, I think aliens and Chad, and then Dr. Mike had said, asked where the term flying saucer came from, and my chat reset. Now I can't see what he might have said, but I did see that you said you looked it up, so I'm curious about that. But, yeah, but before I say that, I have to get this out of the way. Late happy birthday to Dr. Edward. Want to make sure I throw mine in there. And to you, Dr. Vicky, an early happy birthday. And I will probably get you just cash, because, you know, so easy.
Thank you very much.
I mean, if cash...
Are you sending
electronic
me a
fund transfer? but you know, I just wanted to throw mine out there. But no, it's another thing I want to add. It has been a great discussion. It's been a great discussion on the Dr. Edwards. Such good news. First off, before I move on into this thought, where did the term flying saucer come from? Okay.
Oh, well, it was 1947. It was a flying disc. The headlines. Was somebody...
Near Roswell.
That's all around, around the time of, sure. And headline writers coined the term flying saucer and flying disc, or disc for the story.
I kind of figured. I mean, well, you know, everybody knows, you know, it's the shape of a little saucer. And also, I can't hear the word saucer without thinking of a saucer of milk for a cat. It has no connection to, like, a saucer with a little cup for tea or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Nope, it's just for milk, just for cats. No other use.
No. Well, true enough. Unless Dr. Mike knows something that Google doesn't, which is entirely possible. Because he has the inside scoop on a lot of things. So, of course, Damien is saying, you know, yeah, sometimes it looked like a triangle. Yeah, there are different shapes, different types.
As long as it has a little dip, you can really put milk in any shape container and the cats will drink out of it. That's true.
Catch them over the moon. Oh, that was the cow. He wrote it. Kenneth Arnold was an American aviator and businessman, best known for his pivotal role in the history of UFO sightings. On June 24, 1947, while flying his private plane near Mount Rainier, Washington.
That's good stuff. Good. Yet another wonderful example of the value that our live listeners and our live chat brings to this discussion.
Always. We have such a, you know, there's such a broad scope of people, all walks of life, all different ages, and we all have that commonality of curiosity and wanting to keep learning, and that's why absolutely. We keep pumping each other up.
Absolutely. You know, I kind of half borrowed this term from another podcast that I'm a fan of years ago, but this community of the curious, and I love it. I love the idea of it, the energy. And you said something else that is a great segue. You talked about a diverse group of people from all different ages, and one thing that I kept thinking when we're talking about, you know, that help me out. What's the Zig Ziglar term that we started out? It's on the tip of my tongue. Brain doesn't function. Hold on. It's don't die with your music still in you.
Oh, don't and let your
one thing that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you. See, I mean, who knows how many lives I've had? I feel so old. I did have that dream about having 36 lives, but I don't know. Doesn't matter. But the point is, it doesn't matter how old you are. That's always applicable. You don't know how long you have on this planet, you know? And if there's something that you want to do, something you want to express, if there's a particular type of person you want to be, but you don't want to upset the, you know, apple cart or, you know, change life too much. If you're afraid of that change, you know, just do it, because we don't have that much time. You give us 150 years, it's still not that much time. So I would say, yes, I understand the perspective to say, hey, you know, listen, anything can change no matter what, you know, how, what late stage of life you might be in, quote unquote. But I say, you know, none of us know. Don't put it off. You know, embrace it. And it'll make the time that we spend here just qualitatively better. So that was just my two cents on the topic.
Well, I know our conversation's going to be all over the place here tonight because there's things coming up. I've been taking notes as people write things, you know, in the chat. And something Damien's just asked about protection spells, are they real and can you help protect? And, of course, Jerry's saying there's a white pyramid of protection. Now, I'm going to go back to let's be sensible about this, folks. If energy is energy, and even, for instance, Reiki, and the assistance of energy, you know, and the movement, and we're conduits of that kind of energy. And Wendy says she's been reading about how to open the third eye. And again, we can expand our energy and we can direct it. But I want to caution people. I'm going to tell you a little story here in a minute. But the answer is, it doesn't take a spell. It's just about energy. And can you fully protect someone? I'm going to say you can assist, but you cannot interfere with other people's walk of life and their choices. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, no intervention unless it's asked for. And even then, it's no different than trying to do a healing on somebody. If they're not going to receive it, it's not going to work. So it's simple. You can send out that kind of energy to somebody. Use a spell if you want to, you know, if you think that's going to help. But if somebody's not receiving, then it's limited in its capacity.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you want to send out dark thoughts. Well, it needs fear to be attached to. So you got to think, critical thinking. If it's this way, and it's got to be that way. If it's that way, it's got to be this way. Inductive, deductive. So again, if one thing works, then you have to take it full circle and see, you know, how does that make sense? So energy has to have an energy to be able to, you know, attach to. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's living in a dark place, good luck with that. But so, as you know, I stayed with a dear friend of mine for 6 weeks, and one of her high up manager employees ended up with this internal bleeding and went to the hospital. And of course, you know, it's very upsetting to her. But later that night, she called another friend of hers. They were on the phone for 3 hours, mm-hmm. sending healing energy, because that's part of what they do. You send all this healing energy. And so she told me about it the next day, and I listened, and I said, well, the only thing I will say about this is unless you have a diagnosis and know what you're healing, and she gives you permission, I'm just going to say some things can screw up. Well, lo and behold, she was scheduled for an intestinal surgery because it was a gastrointestinal bleed. And, she texted her on Monday morning, said, "Oh, I'm back at home. They think it was just an ulcer." And I looked at her. I said, "Okay." Because we both know there's more going on than that. They just wanted her out of the hospital on the weekend and said, "Well, you know, you stopped bleeding, so that's that." And so it was a lesson. And again, it's not necessarily my place to teach at that moment, except the caution of interfering with a process that you may know little or nothing about and you haven't been invited. So I... And I know these girls know these laws, you know, and they are basic universal laws. It's like you can't make people do things, and even if you try, you can screw up more than, you know, than you intended. So she admitted later, I agree, she's going to end up sick again. I said, well, you know, next time maybe wait a little bit and ask. Wait till there's a diagnosis. You send in a lot of healing energy, it can mask all the symptoms, you know, because it pretends to, oh, they feel better, you know, it stopped. Well, I'm going home. And that can have dire consequences. So again, you know, use some thought. And I know these girls kind of went into a panic and, you know, they wanted to help, and we all like to help. Yeah. The law of non-interference.
Well,
it's just as simple.
Good points all around. You know, you cannot mess with free will, and you know you're absolutely right. So, better to have all the facts. And lastly, I'll just point out that I just take away from this: it is a good thing that we generally want to help when we feel somebody's in trouble. That's a good thing. It's one of the redeeming qualities of humanity.
Yeah. Well, Jerry has just said she always asks for healing for the highest good of that person. Thank you for that, Jerry. That is whatever that highest good is, and we can send out, because we now can release our emotions and our energy, and you know whatever that individual will take in, or whatever is going on between them and the universe, or whatever their life walk is, you know. That it's again, look, if you know somebody who's being abused in a relationship, you can't make them leave. But you can ask for the highest good of that individual. And most people don't know this. In the domestic abuse, it takes a woman at least 7 attempts at leaving before she makes the final break. And that's an average. So, you know, why did she go back? Well, how many times did she left? Well, 3 times. Well, you have to wait for at least 7, you know, and just appreciate that's, well, I just can't do this work because there's no result. Well, it's not the result that's necessarily important. If there's children involved, then social services will get involved, but it's whatever that individual's journey is. It doesn't mean I'm without compassion. That's not it at all. It's being very clear about my place. What is my place? I'm here to serve. And whatever you need me to do, or whatever I can do, and whatever I'm able to do, and if I'm not able, I'll try to find you somebody, but I know my limitations. So I'm just praying for the highest good of you is, you know, releasing and hopefully activating something in their spiritual energy that might serve them in a good way, but you know, it can't.
That is the truth, isn't
can't
it?
Fix
them. And that's because you can't mess with free will.
You know, no, it can't. It's it is what it is. No matter how opinionated we might be, or we see something very dysfunctional, we see people in pain, and
yeah.
To me, no, there's nothing worse than seeing people in pain and not being able to help. And you want to be able to help. If it's an emergency, you take them to whoever can give the best care. And if they need an advocate, you advocate for them. You know, there are situations that require us into action. You know, and that's a thing.
We have a next?
Now we'll segue into the next topic for the night. Yeah, we do. Actually, the few. Dr. Mike is giving us quizzes tonight. When and where was the UFO crash prior to Roswell?
I've been doing some Googling, and just for a couple minutes now. But I think Aurora? Was there one in Aurora? I'm looking at chat now. I'm bouncing back and forth. Let's see.
Well, Damien has said there was a judge in Texas that hit his windmill, and Dr. Mike says, no, that was 1898. And,
but he thinks Aurora, that, Texas, 1897 is so now we have the windmill. And, it's a hoax theory based on a magazine interview with Etta Pages, an 86-year-old Aurora resident that claimed Hayden had fabricated the story. Hayden is the doctor, I believe, whose windmill it was. But, now I'm curious if it's not that one. Which one is it? Because I just was doing a quick checkout. Let's see. Well, we'll have to wait for chat to catch up. But Dr. Mike, don't keep us.
Well, he's not asking.
That's what I was searching. Yeah, not flooding, it's crash. And any crash that came up in my quick Google search, and again, I'm bouncing back and forth and whatnot, was the Aurora. Let's see. Roswell, before Roswell, there's some YouTube videos. Don't have time for that. But I'm telling you.
What would we do without Google and Dr. Mike? Okay. The 1941 UFO sighting, often referred to in connection with the Cape Girardeau UFO crash, is a lesser known but intriguing case in UFO lore. This alleged incident occurred in Cape, I hope I'm saying that right, Girardeau, Missouri, and is said to predate the famous Roswell UFO crash by 6 years. But the question, what, and I know it's not proven, but what about the speculations that Hitler also had a vessel, a ship? Dr. Mike. Because they're saying, like the rumor mill and writings about Hitler starting to, you know,
that's been out there for a long time. And I think it makes sense if you're thinking about the relatively futuristic jets and things that the Nazis are pushing out late in the war. But, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. But, good shout out.
We don't know.
And, let us know your opinion on that. But,
so while his fingers do typing.
But, you know, interesting stuff. I'm scrolling through. Man, there's a lot of stuff out here about pre-runs.
Well, I know there was. Yeah, Jerry had mentioned some about conspiracy theories a while ago. I think that just is too big to tackle. But again, it's conspiracy theories or misinformation. Either people just make them up and gossip, or it's intentional. And it's kind of like conspiracy.
I mean, some of it's just really natural human, you know, curiosity, and you're like, this might fit with this, might fit with this, because we look for patterns and whatnot. But I don't quote me on this.
Yeah,
you know, do your research. Don't take my word for it. But don't I recall that it was found that the CIA was pushing certain conspiracies, making the CIA look much more powerful than it actually was, for that very reason, because it inflated the impression. Well, sure. But I mean, I thought that there were some things that they put out just to make, you know, it seem like the CIA was all powerful, just to kind of expand their reputation and things like that.
Yeah, if I don't want you to go this way, I'm going to tell you,
purely in the sense of making them, the CIA seem all powerful and omnipotent. But yeah, I know there's a lot of stuff out there, and it makes sense because we're, well, of course, but. Oh, yeah, I know.
I know people like that.
but no, it's a natural thing when we don't have access to all the information. And, you know, but frankly, you know, my take on it is I think there's a lot of interesting things, but also when you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah, Look, I have said this before on this program, probably years ago, but I started school in 1960. And I even at a young age, I had a passion for Tibet. I had a passion for Egypt. I had a passion for lots of ancient history. And, of course, in our history books, you know, grade 1, 2, and 3, Tibet is China, or China had Tibet. Well, that, in one summer, you know, China took over Tibet. And, of course, you don't know about that till years later in the Dalai Lama, who says, no, you know, we're all taking refuge because they, you know, they wiped us out or tried to. Mm. And so it's history's written by the winners. So that in and of itself is, you know, you think the conspiracy within a conspiracy is these people, make these people believe whatever we want them to believe.
There's no one monolithic source of information either. And I'd say history is, yeah, it is written by the victors, but it's, you know, it's written by the survivors. And too often when you're looking at ancient history, the literate, you know, the people that wrote things and handed them down. But, you know, I think especially, it's an odd thing where if you have enough time that passes, you'll see things more clearly. But then if it's too far into the past, it becomes obscured again. It's like it's this little window when you can kind of see things clearly in our past to a degree. But yeah, no, I generally would agree with you. And like Tibet, you know, I really came to prominence in my awareness, the movie 7 Years in Tibet with Brad Pitt. I was a boy when I watched that, you know, maybe 12, 13, who knows. But that's what kind of made me really aware of, you know, what happened, even if it was a slightly fictionalized version. But it was a sad affair, and you're all right about that. But yeah, it's that kind of thing where you're trying to tussle out the truth when you know that there's so many different varied interests and powerful people trying to spin their own narratives. But go ahead, sorry.
And why do yeah, no, Michael, I did talk a little bit about this before the show, and you know, how can people believe that? Or how can people believe that guy? How can people believe in this stuff? Well, there's no clear answer. I mean, I shake my head. I don't understand dogmatic religions and why people feel the need to follow them myself. But it's whatever I think is serving them in the moment, you know, and I think that's the bottom line. I'm going to believe whatever serves me. In other words, whatever information is out there that fits my software, it's going through. And if I don't want it, then it means I have to reconfigure my hard drive. I don't want to do that. And a lot of people don't want to. I was grading a paper today, on practical numerology, in fact, and the fellow who was, you know, sent in the assignment said, why don't more mystics or metaphysicians know this information? Yeah. And I just wrote in there, because they're not curious. You know, they don't want to look beyond what's given to them or what they read in a book, because this is the be-all, and we don't ask questions, but, well, who wrote that book? And who wrote that book? And where did that start? And Dr. Jerry said religions use fear to control masses. Well, people use information the same way. Yeah. I'm going to scare you so you vote for me. I'm going to scare you you're right.
The weird thing of it is life is very complex. Life is very nuanced and complicated and has all these little facets. And sometimes they're right to, and sometimes they're not. Like, most of the time they're not. But it is, you know, I also think about, you know, religion is used to control the masses. Yeah, and belief is in general, and I think that is very true. And absolutely what you said earlier is absolutely true in terms of believing what you need to fit the structures in your own mind of how you perceive reality. You don't want that cognitive dissonance. It's a heck of a thing. But I will also... I was going to say, I'll also say that people that spread these things, people that lie, they're lying usually to themselves first because they need it to be true. And they need you to believe it because they need to believe it. In a lot of cases, I think that's true. As opposed to somebody that's, you know, knows the truth and is being absolutely cynical, I've always thought that liars tend to lie to themselves first. But that's all I wanted to say on that. Go ahead.
You know, yeah, there's an old adage about don't bite the hand that feeds you. However, you know, what is that hand that's feeding you? But I also ask the question, well, what hand does not feed you at all? And there's a right-wing element to this, and I am going to be political for a minute. There is nothing in a Western civilization that a right-wing party has ever done socially for the people. And you vote far right, you give up, in my view, you should give up your pensions, you give up your old age security, you give up your unemployment, you give up your family allowance, you give it up. You forfeit that because there is nothing a conservative Republican Party that has done for anybody socially in the history of North America. And I want you all to think about that, and you can go look it up because I've gone through all the Canadian history, and it's only been that Liberal Democrat that has ever implemented a program that benefits the people, and starting right from Social Security. So look it up. So why vote for a hand that has never fed you?
Well,
you know,
I'll definitely agree with Damien that extremes are always bad. You know, the far ends of the spectrum are usually bad. But no, I get what you're saying. And, you know, I know that we like to avoid controversy here. So I just want everybody to know that my personal beliefs are whatever you as the individual listener want them to be. I'm shameless. So, hey, you know, whatever you got, that's my take on it. But no, that was an attempt at a joke that I think fell flat. But
well, I hope.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I hope Dr. Kelly doesn't.
Just because we try not to get political or, you know, turn people off or anything like that. But as a rule, I think it kind of bleeds through every now and again. I think everybody kind of knows where we are. But nonetheless, you know,
Yeah. It's again, conspiracies are just propaganda. Conspiracy theories are propaganda. And if you really want to understand politics, do you want to understand global affairs,
this is true.
Economics,
and
follow
I've often
the
said
money.
That a lot of belief comes after the fact. You know, people,
follow
they,
the money.
If something needs to be true for their material well-being, then they will believe in it really no matter what it is a lot of times. Or if they just perceive it, and that's where a lot of that line comes in. But I digress.
Yeah.
I digress. But it is that time of the evening. Go ahead.
It is, but Damien says, I don't care, I'm Puerto Rican, and if the alien wanted to take
myself,
me out of here, I would leave in a heartbeat and leave all the politics right here. You don't have to live in Puerto Rico.
That's a universal thing.
Damien, trust me. It's
Well, I didn't answer a lot of questions, too. I mean, geez. But.
So, all right, I know. Yeah. So, you know, we've touched on a few things tonight, and I appreciate the open discussion night, Michael. And next
That's
week,
true.
We're going to get a little bit of focus because it's tonight before Halloween. Ooh. I want to talk about the origins of Halloween. I'd like to talk about.
It's going
to
be a good discussion. And, you know, this has kind of become a tradition for us. Mm-hmm. We're around Halloween. We talk about the history of Halloween and different spirits that have come and gone and, you know, some of our favorite things. So, you know what I'm going to ask? I'm going to say if you, if you're friends with us on Facebook, if you're in our One Planet community, you know, throw out some ideas. What kind of different, ghost or goblin or spirit are you interested in? You know, even if it's a modern take on an old idea, you know, let's dive into a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be interesting. But yeah, no, it has been a great discussion, but it is that time. And I think Dr. Jerry threw her name in early. And if we're ready, we are going to pull from the Inner Oracle deck first. So Dr. Jerry, I have for you number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Well, Ace of Spades just says, you know, success is assured, but through a little bit of effort, Jerry. And, I mean, you know what the Ace of Swords means. And Wendy has moved recently, as I have, and she hasn't been able to find her cards yet. So she likes to pull a card for herself every day, can't find them. So that's why she wanted a card tonight especially. And I appreciate that. I got stuff. Boxes packed everywhere yet, and I know I have
AA
batteries somewhere. Michael, do you think I can find the box? I need the batteries, and I don't want to go buy more batteries. I've got lots of batteries, you know, like why would I do that? So you don't have to go buy new cards. You got to find them, Jerry. They're in there somewhere. So the Ace of Spades, that symptom is empowerment, is like pump it up a little bit, give it a little more effort.
Good card, you know, I like it.
It's triumph.
All right, so I was going to say, I think we have Kevin next, and for you, I have number 22, Think for Yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, I got the Five of Spades, the Five of Swords. And the hardest part is over, is what I'm saying. You know, that think for yourself, now it might be a voice. You might just need to articulate through your voice something you want to say. Because it's saying here with that Five of Spades, it's always the battle's over and everybody's going home, you know, tucking their legs between, tail between their legs and going, and you stand there and say, yeah, okay, good. But now my feeling about this is maybe there's something you need to say to somebody to release some pressure. That's all. That's just a thing that comes to mind.
All right, Dr. Edward. I like this card for you. It's wild card number 8, Freedom. Freedom is a state of being. It's an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Well, the Ace of Hearts. Well, I think you said it yourself, Edward, you know, last week, and you mentioned how the surgery was the best birthday gift you'd given yourself, and there is already this sense of greater freedom. And with the Ace of Hearts, that's just saying it's lightened the load, you know, and whew, it's like the last of that part of your, you know, your challenges is over also with all your health issues. So, and he just wrote in the chat, I love freedom. It absolutely is a powerful affirmation to you about maybe just the only thing I would say is make sure you get enough rest, make sure you take care of yourself, and, you know,
good advice.
What's the next adventure?
I like
adventure?
It. And
my message.
For newlywed Jeff, we have number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency, but others requires to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Yeah, Jeff, like with the Seven of Pentacles, the Seven of Diamonds, it's having reached one particular chapter and all the talk about the next chapters, it's time for doing. So expediency with the Seven of Diamonds, that's a harvest kind of thing. So you can revel in this moment, but let's start, you know, just feel that energy and know when to act. What's next? What are you going to do next? And what things do you want to take on? And don't keep talking. As you feel
that's
it,
good
go
message.
Do it. That's the message.
That's a real good message. I love it.
I hope it makes sense.
I think so, too. Although my Jack keeps resetting down. But you, Dr. Zoran, I have number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for that meaning. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not what is the purpose of life. Rather, it is what is the purpose of my life. True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
Well, we know you stay up very late to be with us, and we appreciate that, Zoran. And what I have here for you with meaning and purpose is the Four of Pentacles. And the Four of Diamonds, I always see, well, loosely it's referred to as the Miser card. And Wendy says you had meaning and purpose back in July. Or 7-3.
No, we're doing it the right way, so it would be July 3rd.
Or March.
Unlike the rest of the world.
Okay. Well, you never know. So with that, I always see in my world, I see the Four of Diamonds as like industry and security and making sure you feel secure enough. Like no matter how much you have, you still need to feel secure. So with meaning and purpose, there may be things you want to get on to doing, but, you know, I mean, we all pay rent or mortgage and, you know, we all have to eat. Eat's a good thing. So it's kind of blending that. So it's, I would say that you're kind of half and half in the world you want to be, but in the work that you have to do. And that's okay for now. So it's just kind of go with it as long as you can and still aspiring, you know, to your fulfillment, if you will, for your sense of what gives you that sense of meaningfulness.
It's very true.
We just talked about that last
week.
All
right. And we have Damien next.
Yeah. Oh.
And for you, I have number 41, communication.
Damien.
The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Okay, well, the first card I pulled was the Jack of Spades. So that Jack of Swords can be a little bit abrasive at times. And now we have to compare it with communication, right? And finding those right words or a tone that is sometimes more palatable to some people. And I thought, well, okay, what is this in relation to? And it's the Nine of Diamonds. So in relation to the Nine of Pentacles, I would say, especially when it comes to matters of home, family, friends, it's just being cautious about a little more sensitive. That's a better way to say it. A little more sensitive to how some energy is conveyed, you know. And I mean, this is a kind of a radical example, but if I tell somebody no, it's kind of that there's room. And if I say no, There's no room. You know, so it's understanding how our tones and our, you know, presentation sometimes is received. And I think that just means that there might be something you're learning in there, or something that you're attempting to share. How's that with somebody in how they're communicating? So it's just a learning curve.
True enough.
You know, always have all those. Right. I hope that makes sense, Damien. So it's with all the goodness of my heart.
All right, we have our card keeper herself next, Wendy. And for you, Wendy, I don't want to put this, you know, too high up there, but this card probably will change your life. But right now I have for you number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
Oh, we've had three spades come up, four spades come up today. This is the Queen of Spades, Wendy. Spirit, divine energy, call upon the witch. Call upon, you know, that the manager, the director, that female, insightful, go for it kind of feeling in you. It might be time to give something an extra push. Now, Wendy's saying that she had that Spirit Divine Energy card back in June. So it's, she says, lots of matching cards tonight, which is interesting as we come near the end of the year. So I would say take charge. That's what it's saying here. Take charge of what you know you can be in charge of. Control only what you can, but manage the rest. And just power up, Wendy. Besides, it's Halloween, our favorite time of year. So it's a brutal time.
This is true. But
yeah, I think that's all we have for cards this evening. You know, I want to just kind of remind people, as I've, you know, been going through this evening, that things mean what they mean to you. And it's like there's a lot of mystical, metaphysical, new age stuff out there, but that can be a religion in and of itself. So be cautious what you buy into. Be cautious what I get a lot of strange questions posed to me nowadays, and I've tried to, in my lifetime, tried to be careful answering. And I have to admit, though, there was a time when I believed in certain things and I had to say, you know, I've changed my mind. And well, what do you mean you've changed your mind? I'd say, it just doesn't work for me anymore, because I've had time to think about things. I've had time to grow into them. And it's just like the law of attraction. It's a universal thing. There's so many other factors, you know, at play. And, you know, when we think about the law of attraction, it better apply to everybody on the planet, no matter their circumstance. So, you know, there's always more energies at work. And it's critical thinking. And that is the whole intent and the purpose of Dr. Kelly's work, is, you know, that we get to know ourselves better, and we get to know better the tools to study what we're looking at. It's always asking those questions. So don't take everything at face value and say, oh, I read a book, or oh, I talked to a friend, or you got to think about it, and it's got to feel right, and it's got to just make sense on so many levels. Jerry's asking,
I was just going to check the same thing myself.
I didn't see Donna's name in there. I'm sorry if that's the case. We're very sorry. I'm so glad that I had a blabbermouth for a moment to make sure we got you. Oh, she didn't ask for one. Okay, that's fair. Then
no cards without consent.
We answer, but if you didn't ask, we're good. It's all well and fine. Oh my God, I was thinking, oh God, did we miss another one, Michael? You know, I'm looking forward to next week. I am looking forward to my pumpkin cheesecake on Friday night. My daughter makes the best vegan pumpkin cheesecake.
Oh, I believe it.
Imagine. And yes, there is.
Don't have to convince me.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I made one for my friend when I was, you know, staying with her. Yeah, that's fun. Lots of recipes. So anyway, looking forward to next week. I love Halloween. Fall is one of my favorite times of the year. I love the colors, the energy, things cooling off.
I agree. And although you know, I've always loved the you know, kind of late fall. You know, more around the kind of, you know, November, December, especially in Florida. It's so hot. I just love it, getting just anything that's not, you know, sweltering, you know, upper 80s with 100% humidity. But no, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to that discussion. You know, it's going to be fun. We're going to be kind of giving into these different spirits and our favorite kind of, you know, stories about this. Just a little anecdote about the spooky season. I was walking my dog Charlie, my husky mix. It was after nightfall, and I was just walking him by himself because I thought he needed to kind of go to the bathroom and he needs a walk to kind of do it. So didn't want the hassle. So I'm just taking him out and we're walking and I think he hears something or sees something, but he acts petrified. And, you know, immediately, tail goes between his legs and he drags me, you know, like two blocks back to my house. His tail doesn't come out from under his legs until he gets back inside and he's surrounded by the rest of his pack. But it is the spooky season. Always a reminder. So looking forward to that discussion.
I did that to a 4-year-old who was visiting my house and wanted to run away. I said, okay, you better put your shoes on. And he stood, you know, he's starting to leave down the walk. I said, now be careful because there is wild cats out there. And you have to be really careful. Oh, and be careful of the dog that lives down the street. And by the way, do you have a lunch? And he got so scared, came back in. Well, not today. I said, that's okay. Maybe you can try tomorrow. His mom just looked at me horrified. I said, well, I'm not going to fight with him. If he wants to run away from home, I just got to.
I'm pretty sure whatever that is. I don't know. Maybe there is a scary dog, but I mean, there have to be, like, you know, cougars and things up your way too, right? No lie there.
Well, there you go.
It is. Yeah, you do. You do. And that's the thing about life, right? It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be messy. It's going to be painful, but it's also going to be wonderful. And you do have to have fun. And, you know, I got to say, I have a lot of fun with you guys. I have a lot of fun with you, Dr. Vicky. So thank you for being here. Thank you for, you know, everything you bring. And as we kind of start closing things out, it is that time of night. It has been a great discussion. And thank you guys for your contributions, because we haven't even gotten to a couple of them that were real good. Damien and Dr. Mike and others have just thrown some great stuff out there. But any last thoughts for the evening, Dr. Vicky?
No, just don't let them push around out there, people. Oh, by the way, footnote. People are saying, what's in Canada? Bigfoot, moose. Yeah, we've got lots. In fact, I talked to somebody who saw a Sasquatch a few years ago walking by the highway. So,
well, hey, I mean, so you never know. And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the plural of moose meese? No, I always heard that. But no, they're meese.
Just moves.
Thanks,
moves,
everybody. Don't listen to me about Canadian pronunciation.
Have a great week, everybody.
But can't wait to see you guys next week. Looking forward to having that great discussion. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.